This is Lead to Serve with Ed Taylor, a leadership podcast.
Hey, welcome again to another episode of the Lead to Serve podcast. It originates from here in Aurora, Colorado. My name is Ed Taylor. I have the privilege of pastoring Calvary Church here in Aurora. We've been here 22 years serving in this dynamic ministry, reaching out, ministering the gospel in our community and beyond. What a blessing it's been, and it continues to be, serving God in this church, in this community. And one of the ways that God has chosen to use me is in discipling and developing leaders and servants on a very simple scale. You know, I'm no John Maxwell or any of that, but I do know that God has filled me with wisdom from His Word to help us move along the path of servanthood, you know, to really fulfill what Jesus said, to come to be the servant of all, that if we want to be great in God's kingdom, we have to be the servant of all. And what does that look like practically? What heart issues, what mind issues, how can I serve God better? What do I need to look out for? And that's really the genesis of this podcast, was to ask some questions and learn from God's word and practical advice and experience what it means to serve God. How can we serve better? How can we grow as a leader? How can we grow as a servant? Not merely in the church, although that is a primary way God has chosen to use me. I am a pastor in a church, and I have the privilege of serving at conferences and other churches, yes, but also in the workplace and at home and in our community, on the block, you know, at the park. Like servanthood, these principles are applicable everywhere. And for season three, we've been looking at principles that we put together here at the church in a resource we titled Sure and Steady. It's a book. I encourage you to get it. It's filled with practical wisdom, not only for you, but when you're in discipling someone else. Sure and Steady. And you can get that anywhere you get books. And we've been talking about those principles, and I hope it's been encouraging for you, because it's been encouraging for me. And we're watching the listenership grow, watching. Thank you guys for sharing this. Thank you for putting on your social media. Thanks for telling people about it. Thanks for leaving the positive reviews on your podcast provider. Man, it's a blessing to serve you. It's a blessing to be a part of what God's doing in the context of your ministry. But today I want to stop. I feel burdened to talk about this topic of feeling stuck. And I titled the podcast that way on purpose. I wanted to get your attention. You know, do you feel stuck? Because a lot of people do. Feeling trapped. Feeling like, you know, I'm stuck, I'm going nowhere, I've been going nowhere, I'll never get out of this. Especially when it relates to serving God, is very challenging and very difficult. And what happens when you feel stuck, there is that natural response of panic or paralyzing fear, and just wondering, and then all these questions come in, right? You know, did I make the right decision? Is it my fault? And then you've got feeling stuck, you've got fear, you've got panic, then you've got discouragement. And discouragement, once we get to a place of being stuck, you know, we're like, man, I need to figure my way out of this. But then you kind of look around and you're like, there is no way out. And that's part of the problem. The problem is that you are stuck, but you're also trying to approach a spiritual problem with physical means. Right? We're kind of ingrained in that way. You know, it's a spiritual, like I want you to understand, even if you made bad decisions, but I'm not even talking about the bad decision part of this, but let's just say you did. You are where you are by the will of God, and you can trust Him right where you're at. But I want you to consider from this text today in Exodus chapter 14, that there are times, and listen, you receive this. Receive this. You're listening in the car, you're got headphones on, jogging, whatever, treadmill, on the bike, whatever you're doing. Listen, this is important. You're in a place where you're feeling stuck. There is a strong possibility that God led you there. There is a strong possibility. It's so strong that it's very well could be that God led you to a place of feeling stuck to be exactly where He wants you, to pour Himself into you. And I want you to be careful not just to assess the difficulties in your life or the place where you are, like you just made a bunch of difficult decisions. You know, it's all my fault. It's all my fault. But like we learn with the children of Israel today in Exodus 14, God led them to a seeming trap. He led them to a difficult place. And here's the thing. You can either have our eyes on God. Again, it's simple, isn't it? These are all simple things, but you need to hear them. Hear them. Please hear me out. As if you were in my office right now, we're talking ministry together. Listen, you got to hear this. You don't want to start fearing man. You don't want to be afraid of what can happen to you. You don't want to get into the physical realm so that you lose sight of what God is doing. In Proverbs 29:25, it says, "The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord will be safe." So what do you want? Well, of course, I know what we want. I know what I want. And let me just say, as I'm sharing with you right now, this is a real personal thing for me because I find myself many times looking to the arm of the flesh. You know, that's a spiritual phrase, you know, the arm. I look to my own resources to get out of situations, or I look at my own resources and think, well, here I am, I'm stuck. And then I start thinking back and I overthink things. That is a typical problem with us as leaders. We overthink things. And if you're an overthinker, I'm sorry, it's brutal, isn't it? It's brutal. Lord, help us to not overthink things, but to have a simple trust that says, whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Because that word snare literally means to be entangled, to impede progress. Snares and traps and the fear of man and trying to figure things out hold us back from God's best in our lives. We get caught up in something that keeps us stuck and rooted with all these fearful emotions. And many times in these feelings of being stuck, our greatest enemy is simply ourselves. It was Harry Fosdick that said, and let me quote it to you, it's so good. He said, "Fear imprisons, but faith liberates. Fear paralyzes, but faith empowers. Fear disheartens, but faith encourages. Fear sickens, faith heals. Fear makes useless, but faith makes serviceable. And most of all, fear puts hopelessness at the heart of life while faith rejoices in its God." And oftentimes when we're feeling stuck in ministry, we're feeling stuck in a position, a role, a place. You know, maybe you move to a city to plant a church and you're like, I don't like this city. I feel stuck. Well, no. Or I don't like this minister. I think I'm called to X, but God has me at Y. And I just, I don't like. What happens is that we become hopeless and we become fearful. And the fear is usually, God, did I get it wrong? Because we associate success and failure with happiness and joy and that kind of stuff. So we kind of think, if it's a success, then everything is happening just the way I want. And things aren't happening the way that I want, then I think I failed. And you know it's not true, but man, emotions get the best of us. Well, you think of, consider the power of God's word right now. You think of the children of Israel, a nation that's committed their lives to follow God wherever he leads wholeheartedly. They are fully championing the call of God for their life. They're delivered from the bondage. I mean, this is a nation, not a person, although the nation is made up by individual persons. So there's the personal aspect, then there's the group aspect, but more importantly, there's the God aspect, and they have been delivered. The prayers of their mouths have been answered, and they are exiting, and that's where we get the word Exodus from. They are exiting Egypt, and they are now following Moses and the leadership under Moses, and ultimately they have chosen to follow God. And in their choice to follow God, they are trusting God. But we come to them in the text, I'm kind of skipping over a lot of the text, we pick up in their story in a position where they are seemingly trapped. Or, like the word we're using today, they could look at their situation and say, we're stuck. We're stuck. The Red Sea is before them. They have mountains, hillsides on either side of them. And then behind them, the approaching Egyptian army. So when they look forward, they see no hope. They look to the left, they see no hope. They look to the right, they see no hope. They look over their shoulders or even just turn around, they see no hope. And they're stuck. There is no human way out of their dilemma. And as they've chosen now to follow God by following Moses, since there's no human way out of it, they are scared and they are concerned and they have a real fear of losing everything because they're stuck. In Exodus 14:10, it says, "When Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, 'Because there were no graves in Egypt, you have taken us away to die in the wilderness. Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, "Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians"? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." Well, there you go. Look what it does. Look what it does. How quickly, and let's just admit it. I'll admit it with you. How quickly my attitude changes when I'm afraid, or when I'm concerned, or when there's a real bona fide painful situation, or a real bona fide dangerous situation, like how quickly we change. Great crisis and great fear will draw out great fear and anxiety for sure. It will draw out a temptation not to trust in the Lord. And, you know, they're panicking. I guess that's the best way to describe this. This is panic. And panic will lead us into all kinds of bad behaviors. Panic is really this overwhelming emotion, this overwhelming sense. The definition for panic is a sudden, uncontrollable fear or anxiety. Listen, often causing wildly unthinking behavior. Wow. Jot that down. That's just the simple Apple. What is it? The Oxford definition, whatever the Apple dictionary is on my MacBook. It says suddenly uncontrollable fear causing wildly unthinking behavior. Wildly unthinking behavior. So they turn on Moses and they get upset with him. And they're like, "We never wanted to leave Egypt to begin with." That's nonsense. And haven't you found that being stuck, you start saying nonsensical, or like that definition, unthinking things. You say things without thinking. What do you mean? You know, like I think of a church planner. I've had this feeling many times. You know, I think of a church planner. You move, you get all this faith. God moves. He opens doors. You get there. You start pastoring the community. The God's forming a church around you. Things aren't going the way you thought. And you go, "Oh, I should have never moved here." What? What do you mean you should have never moved there? You absolutely should have moved there. And that's a word from, or maybe in the context, you know, Sunday school teaching is hard. You go, "I should have never signed up to teach the kids." No, you absolutely should have. Or, you know, I don't like, you know, maybe you're a mom today and you chose to stay at home. And man, the kids can be challenging because they're kids and they're unique kids with unique personalities. And you start to think, "Oh, I should have never stayed home. I'm going to go back to work." No, you should have stayed home. I don't know if God would take you back into the workforce or not. I don't know. That's not a realm that I'm speaking to, but the fact that you chose and obey God to stay home with your kids, yes, yes, yes. May the Lord give you the strength to persevere, because you're not stuck. You're exactly where God wants you. You are not stuck. You are exactly where God wants you. So what does he do? And he says in verse 13, Moses says to the people, "Don't be afraid." Good word, Moses. And now I stand in a position of leadership, you know, a fellow laborer with you, a servant, and I'm saying now to you, don't be afraid. That is the word of the Lord to you listening to this. Yeah, but Ed, and I'm sure there are a lot of things that are concerning you, and in no way am I minimizing them at all, but I am sharing the truth and the confidence that Moses shares here. Don't be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you'll see no more. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Moses responds with great words of faith. And we need people of faith when we're discouraged. After you finish this podcast, you should call a friend and either be a person of faith to them or receive their faith. Like if you are in a strong position right now, a strong place, then call someone and encourage them. If you're in a weak place right now, then call someone you know will encourage you. That's how it works. We need strong words of faith. Don't be afraid. Trust in the Lord. Stand still. That's an important thing. Don't make big decisions on bad days. Pastor Bob Claycamp shared that recently. Don't make big decisions on bad days. And what I've been saying here in the church, you know, ever since our big trial and trauma and difficulty that's still ongoing with the loss of our son, Eddie, is, hey, don't make any big decisions when you're hyped up emotionally. You know, that is not the time to make big decisions. Stop. Stand still. Don't make big decisions. You get that? Number one, don't be afraid. Number two, don't make big decisions. Now, thirdly, I think a great thing to do is trust your leader. Trust your leader. Follow your leader. I mean, your leader spoke in great faith into your life. Trust your leader. Get your eyes off your circumstance. Get your eyes on the Lord. Don't lose it. God is in control. And you're not stuck in the way that you think you are. You're not stuck in the way that you think you are. You might be looking ahead, difficulty, left, difficulty, right, difficulty, behind you, difficulty, but not looking up. Stand still. And then notice he says, see, you're going to see the salvation of God. You're going to see it. You're going to see the salvation of the Lord. He will accomplish it for you today. You're going to see it right now. Don't lose heart. You know, I think of Revelation chapter 1, verse 17. It says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, don't be afraid. I'm the first and the last. God is in control. He hasn't forgotten you. There are times when things are not as they seem. So you got it all figured out. There's no way out. There's no way out. There's no way out. We should have never left Egypt. No, things aren't always what you think they are. And you go, but Ed, it doesn't make sense. It's so hard. But what God is doing right now is developing a new relationship with you where you're going to learn how to trust him completely. Even though you can't see any possible solutions, you can't see a way out, you're convinced that it's over, God is at work. And God wants to show you that he is able to make a way even when there is no way. Can I hear an amen on that? How many times have we seen that in our lives? God is able to make a way where there is no way. And he wants to show you that he is not limited by you. He is not limited by your resources. He is not limited by your bank account, by your skill set, by where you live, what language you speak, what church you serve on. He is not limited by your resources or by your limited capacities. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can think or ask. And he wants to teach us, but you're like, but Ed, I'm the leader. I'm Moses in this situation. Yeah. And God is at work in Moses' life too, isn't he? And in my life too. God wants to teach you the value of being his kid. He wants to show you how he takes care of his kids. If God is for you, who can be against you? When the old enemy wants to keep you in bondage and slavery and even makes it look like it would be better to go back to bondage and slavery, God shows up. So often God allows us to come to a place where there is a seemingly impossible trap. He allows us to be boxed in. He gives us situations where there seems to be no human way of getting out so that we'll learn. And this is a lesson we're all learning. I want you to learn not to trust in your own resources, but to look to the Lord, to trust in the sufficient, almighty God who is able to deliver us from any trap the enemy might seek to ensnare us, any trap. And Moses, he just speaks the truth. He speaks faith. He doesn't try to explain it, doesn't try to reason about it. There are times where we just got to say it like it is. There are times where we just got to give it like it is and allow the Holy Spirit to use us. And even though, you know, Moses, we're not really told what Moses is feeling, but all I know is this: he spoke the truth, and he was speaking the truth to the nation. He may have been speaking the truth to himself. So speak the truth to yourself. Open up the word, read and pray and draw near to the Lord. And don't be afraid. The Lord's going to fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. So good. And then in verse 15, you know, God tells Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Go forward. You feel stuck? Go forward." And here it is, right? "Oh, I can't go forward." The word of the Lord is to go forward. Or as I've shared many times, and I'll repeat it again, I learned this from Elizabeth Elliot, the widow of the missionary Jim Elliot. If you don't know about them, Elizabeth Elliot's books are amazing. And Jim Elliot's testimony and their testimony together, amazing. You can just Google them or find resources on them. So good. But Elizabeth Elliot taught me during my time of grief and challenges. I was also pastoring the church and leading my family, and I was just overwhelmed by grief and sorrow, and I didn't think I was going to make it. And I was just reading all the time, and I read one of her books, and she gave me the principle of do the next thing. Do the next thing. You feel stuck, do the next thing. And she interpreted that as there's dishes to be done, do them. If there's the grass to be mowed, the lawn needs to be mowed, mow the lawn. If you need to make a phone call, just keep moving forward. That's her word. Keep moving forward. And then, of course, direction was given to Moses, lift up his hand. And then God explains a little bit to Moses, "I'm going to harden the hearts of the Egyptians and they shall follow. I'll gain honor over Pharaoh, his chariots. The Egyptians shall know." Now, this is key as we wind down, because we're almost done for our time today. But he says in verse 18, "Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, and I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, chariots, and horsemen." So go forward, and then it gets insight on the whole thing. And then the essence that God's wanting to show the children of Israel is that I'm going to take care of you. Don't worry about it. But there was something even greater, and that is I'm going to show the world something through your life. I'm going to show the world something through your life. And that is it. You know, God's going to be faithful to me. We can bank on that. How much more now in Christ, the Bible says. But as we pass through the being stuck, you know, you can think back in the past, can't you? Other times you felt stuck, the Lord got you through it. And he's going to get you through this one too. As I look back, I can see so many times where I felt there was no way out, and God made a way where there was no way. I was afraid. I was unwilling or unable to see anything but my problems. And I'm talking about me. And man, it happens to me a lot. And God reveals himself to me a lot as well. I mean, I guess you could go the easy way or the hard way, but I just seem like I go the hard way too much. And I'm grateful because God is with me. He's faithful. He's with you. God has revealed his love to us, his concern, his power. And he sees us through because we put our trust in him. And the enemy that's harassed us for so long is the one who's really being led into the trap. The one that's really, as of course you guys know, you Bible students, read the rest of Exodus 14. The Red Sea opens up. The children of Israel follow through. Then the army chases them in. And then the water comes back and swallows up the army. The enemies of God are taken care of. And God will take care of your enemies too. Just follow him. Follow him. It's not looking to forward or backward or left or right. It's looking up. Looking up. God is going to see you through because we put our trust in him. And the enemy is going to be dealt with and taken care of. He's the one being led into the trap. And I know you're feeling stuck right now. I get it. I'm sure the title caught your attention, but we're here to encourage you and strengthen you. I'm praying for everyone that listens to this podcast. Even if I haven't met you or know you, I pray for you. I want you to grow in these last days. You know, the coming of the Lord is at hand, and God is at work in all these things. And so, may the Lord encourage you and strengthen you and bless you. This brings us to the end of today, and I just want to encourage you, email me. You can email me through my website, edtaylor.org, or you could text me directly, 720-608-0012. Our website, calvaryco.church, connect with us, come to service. You know, if you're in the Metro Denver metro area, come to church. We would love to have you. Or you can connect with us online on any of our services or on our radio station. Pray for us. We've got a couple of radio stations here in Colorado that cover, check this out, 80% of the population. Isn't God so good that he allow us to provide worship in the word day after day to 80% of Colorado's population? Unbelievable. And so this is the Lead to Serve podcast. Leave a positive review, would you? Forward this to friends, put it up on social media that people can grow and learn about it. And again, if you have any questions or you have any ministry topics you want us to cover, just let me know. Totally open to it, ready to receive it. And that'll be probably the coming next season. We'll be just answering some common questions that people have sent us over the years and as a result of this request. So until next time, this is the Lead to Serve podcast. My name is Ed Taylor. I count it a great privilege to be a very small part of the huge work that God is doing in your life.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Lead to Serve with Pastor Ed Taylor, a leadership podcast from Calvary Church in Aurora, Colorado. If you have a leadership question you want to hear answered on a future Lead to Serve podcast, please email it to pastored@calvaryco.church. And if you like our podcast, please subscribe, rate, or review us on iTunes, and share us with your friends on social media. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next time right here on the Lead to Serve podcast.